at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Preseason game coming up here in about an hour. But for right now, hey, guess what? You have joined the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Stay tuned right here. We do have 2 hours for you, so we can get everything in for you today. But I'm here, Rich Orris, your trusted source for all things home maintenance and remodeling. And for the next 2 hours, we get to talk about your home. Whether it's that stubborn draft in the winter, I've got one of those I can explain, a remodeling project you're thinking about, or just general upkeep to keep your house looking and functioning at its best, we can help you right here today. We've got plenty of time for you. And we all know that home ownership comes kind of with a never-ending to-do list. Sometimes it's kind of tough to know where to start. And that's where I can come in with years of experience helping homeowners across St. Louis. I'm here to give you some expert advice, practical solutions, and maybe even a few insider tips that can make your projects a little bit easier for you. And the best part of all this is it's all about you. What do you need? What's happening at your home? Like he said, you can give me a call right here today, 314-436-7900. With your home improvement questions, anything you need, whether it's a small fix or a big major renovation, let's talk it through and let's find the best solution for your home. So sit back, get yourself comfortable, maybe grab a cup of coffee, and let's get into another great Saturday afternoon of home improvement talk. And let's see who's going to be first up today. Like I said, we've got Cardinals coming up this afternoon, but don't forget, you can come and join me in the second hour on 97.1 FM. So if you want to get your questions answered, if you want to hear the second half of the Home Improvement Show, jump over to 97.1 and we'll be there with the second hour for you. Anything that you need. Like speaking of the winter drafts, checking your house, I actually have a draft at my house, and it's actually coming from the garage, something I've been meaning to fix here for a little bit. But basically the door to the garage from the house, the strike that catches that door handle, there's actually a second piece behind that strike latch that pops out, and you can kind of push that door a little bit tighter, and that second little piece in the back of that strike latch will pop out, and it'll hold that door a little more snug and tighter up against that weather seal so that we're not getting the drafts in. And I started noticing, boy, it really feels cold back here when I come back to get ready to leave, and I'm feeling that door. And, well, that little secondary strike latch piece either got jammed inside there and isn't moving anymore or broke off. Something happened where that's not there anymore, so that strike latch is just loose inside the strike plate, and it's letting a lot more air, cold air, in around from the garage. And of course, definitely started to notice it this week with the major, major cold, single digits, even in the even inside the garage, and it's like nothing's melting. It's so cold. It's quite amazing. And if your garage is drywalled, insulated, all that, then it's holding that cold air in there, not making that much any better. So as soon as we get a little warmer weather and I get a little time, you're going to find me replacing that strike latch on my garage door to seal that garage up. So, hey, we've got Gretchen on the line. Let's jump on the phones and see what's going on for Gretchen. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me okay? I'm on the speakerphone.
Yes, I can hear you just fine. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Now, I have a ceiling fan in the kitchen, and, you know, it's got a decorative over, you know, there's a three lights inside, and I had to replace one. I was unscrewing it, and the bulb separated from that metal thing that holds it in, and the metal thing is stuck in there. What do I do?
So one of the easiest ways that I've heard to do that is, one, make sure that your power is off.
Yeah, okay.
And you want to make sure switch is off, maybe even put a piece of tape or something on the switch to keep that thing off.
Turn it off, you know, in the kitchen where the switch just turn off the power to the ceiling fan.
Yep. Correct. Just so that the lights aren't on or that there's not power going to that light bulb, then you can take and they sell things like kits like this that you could actually purchase. But
oh, okay, that's what I wanted to know.
But also, you can just use a potato. You cut a potato, kind of flatten the one end. You get it about the size, a little bit bigger than that socket where it'll fit in there, kind of shave around it so it'll fit in around the kind of decorative part, but bigger than the metal part.
It'll get moisture in there. It won't, because the part that you're taking out will be with the potato, so it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. So you just basically hold it from the back, push that potato in there, and then start to turn that potato to the left.
Just it hard enough so that it doesn't come out, and then so I'll be able to turn it.
Yep.
I guess I'll have to peel the part like an Idaho potato, I guess.
Yes, exactly. You want to just kind of peel the end so it's the right size, flatten the end, just cut it off with a knife it's kind of flat on the one end, and then use that end to push it in there. Now, if that does not work, then you're kind of stuck into a spot. If it's in there, rusted in there so bad that that's not working, then you may need to actually get somebody with some tools, with kind of like some pliers to try and grab that, loosen that, and just kind of slowly turn that light bulb socket with some needle nose pliers or something like that. Again, you want your power off for all of that, but I've heard of a lot of people having success with the potato.
What about, you said I could buy a kit at the hardware store?
And I think they have them on, if you look online, they make things that are kind of the same thing for trying to get that out of there. Similar type of device, yes.
Yeah, I think I would. I think I'll do that because. I have another question. My garage door, there's a metal strip at the garage door that when it comes down, it sits on the concrete floor below. And I guess ice got on there, and it pulled off that little metal strip. Can I just call overhead door? Would they be able? Do they have to replace the whole door, or do you think they could just put that? You know, there's an absence. Air is coming in. The garage is cold now because that little thing is like a
bench
or something.
It's like a metal piece with the rubber seal on the bottom of the
door. Right, on the bottom.
Yep, yeah, those do. They can freeze to the floor. And so hopefully, as long as it didn't damage the door when it came off, install a new one on the bottom.
Okay, not the whole door, just a little metal strip, I hope.
Yep, they should. As long as when it came off, as long as it didn't damage. And usually that's just slid into a groove, so...
Yeah, it's bent. The little metal strip is bent, but the door opens fine up and down, you know.
Yep, so they should be able to replace it without replacing the entire door.
Oh, thank you. I was afraid to call thinking they'd have to replace the whole door. But anyway, thank you so much for your service. I listen to you all the time. Thanks a lot.
Oh, I appreciate it. No problem, Gretchen. That's wonderful to hear. And for everybody else out there, let's get into our first break and Let's see if we can get these phones dialed up and going again. Again, remember, 314-436-7900. Right here's where you'll find me today. We've got a lot of show coming up. Don't go anywhere. More to come right after this. All right, everybody, here we go. We are back. Plenty of time, plenty of topics, plenty of things to do for the Home Improvement Show today. I'm Rich Orris, your host here for you today. Again, remember, you can find me at 314-436-7900. Get yourself in onto the show. Get your topic, your questions, your concerns all put out there. We were kind of talking about that never-ending home ownership to-do list that comes with owning a home, keeping up the maintenance, taking care of a home, and sometimes you don't think about really all the things that you might need to keep your eye on or just even do. Like, it's just, you kind of go, okay, yeah, I'm going to own this home. This is going to be great. I'll get some equity out of it. I'll have this to do. But then you start to realize over time that it's like cutting the grass. It never ends. It stops for the winter for a little bit, but come spring again, you're like, wow, okay, I'm back into another lawn season. Like, I got to do this. And so it is something that it's good to do. It's great to do. But you have to want to perform all this. You have to want to make your lawn nice, and you have to want to keep up with things and really have a goal and a desire to do so. And keeping up with the maintenance and just the general list that comes with a house really can be some of your best investment in that home, as far as having it worth something when you go to sell it later. I'm sure we've all seen houses where somebody's lived there for 30, 35, 40, even 45 years or so, and just really didn't do a whole lot, didn't keep up with a lot of maintenance. And then you see that house, and of course it sells for way less because it has all this work, maintenance, things that have to be accomplished to it to maintain it, to get it back up to snuff and really be something that people are proud of and everything. But you have to want to do it. You have to want to be an owner, and you have to want to take care of those things or be financially responsible enough to own it and pay somebody to do all of that for you. Of course, that's another option with Mosby Building Arts, with lawn and landscaping services, with painting, with everything that goes on around a house. The fortunate thing is you have people, companies like us that can help you maintain and take care of and keep that investment going for you. Of course, you don't get a lot of sweat equity that way. So there's a give and take there on what you do and how you do it and what you end up getting out of it. But I've always kind of been told and kind of learned, and now I'm experiencing just the fact of, you know, how much that house really can be a part of your worth, your net value, and one of your biggest investments to take care of and protect and really keep up on is so, so important. And there's a lot of really cool tips and tricks out there that I've come across over the past 5 to 10 years of doing this type of work and this type of the radio show and interviewing and talking and hearing from people. It's great. Sometimes even other listeners calling in to say, hey, I've done this in that exact situation too, and it seemed to work really well for me. So talking about the light bulb, so I during the break, I did kind of start to Google thinking, what exactly do they call that? So if you looked up or Googled broken bulb extractor, they make kind of like the potato thing with rubber and all of that to get that stuff out of there. There is a tool like that out there. You can order on Amazon. I'm sure they have them probably in the big box stores, that sort of thing. So there is a way other than a potato to get that taken care of. But I've heard of a lot of people doing that. And there's a lot of other cool kind of tips and tricks out there too. A couple of my favorites that I have, one of them is actually just a simple way of tearing off a straight edge on a roll of tape, like the blue painter's tape I use quite a bit, or duct tape works really well. And basically it's a really simple theory of you just simply fold that piece of tape under itself at a 90 degree angle to the roll. Then you can just take the tape and kind of with a quick pull snapping motion, you can pull that tape against the edge of the roll and it will tear that off right in a really nice straight line for you. And the other cool thing is it will leave a triangular shaped starting tab where it's tape on tape and it's in the form of a triangle. So it's right there. It's not stuck. Works really well with masking tape, duct tape, painter's tape. And it's an easy find your start point, and it's an easy rip it off real nice and square on the end to get that tape off of there. So that's kind of a cool one I've been using for quite a while. Another one I've seen that I think is really neat is kind of organizing inside of a kitchen cabinet. So you've got under the sink or even a bathroom cabinet under the bathroom sink, you've got a dozen different spray bottles. They have, you know, different types of bleach and not, and different types of cleaning and Windex, all these different types of spray bottles. Well, if you just take a tension rod, kind of like a shower bar extension rod, they make them a little bit smaller, a little bit shorter for curtains, and basically put that tension bar across the kitchen cabinet higher up inside that cabinet. You can hang all of those spray bottles right off of that tension rod and leave the bottom of the cabinet open for everything else. And it just keeps you from digging around and trying to figure out, okay, you know, where is this bottle? Where is that bottle? Trying to find everything can be so crazy inside of that sink base cabinet that just makes it super easy to find those bottles and get through that. So that's another cool little trick. And something else we were kind of touching on a little bit last week was just in our industry, we were talking with a caller about wood, about wooden doors, just any type of wooden product for the building and remodeling industry. And there's a lot of conversations about how fast they harvest trees for lumber anymore. And it kind of depends on the type of wood, but your typical building lumber, a pine, either a yellow southern pine, a white pine, or like a Douglas fir, some of these trees are only growing for 25 years before they are being harvested to actually make lumber out of, which seems like a long time. But I've had some trees and growing like that in my yard for 20 years or so, and they don't get very big. So they are doing things, they are feeding, they are trying to get these trees to really grow and get to a certain size as quickly as possible to utilize them at all. So it's definitely something to consider when building and working with wood today, as opposed to wood on a house from 100 plus years ago. how that works. I talk about the same thing all the time with different metals. Back then, they used a lot of copper. Copper's very expensive today, but you see copper that has lasted as flashing on buildings for 60, 75, 100 years. You see copper gutters that go up, and we're looking at this building, and it's 120 years old, and it's got issues with the copper gutters finally, and they go up into underneath the roof and welded seams and all this, and it's lasted so long. Then you get these newer, thinner aluminum, these metals, they rust, they oxidize, and they just don't have the same lasting value. It's kind of the same common situation with a lot of things in our industry. So thinking about the past, thinking about the products and new ways to do things, we can get a little bit into a conversation I had about a wooden door versus a new door, steel door, that kind of type of situation, and why we do what we do in our industry today, and why it's different than it was 20, 30, even 40 years ago or so, and why so many things are changing. So we can get into some of that. We can also get into any of your questions, conversations, calls, anything you need. Don't fret. Give me a call. We can help you out today. 314-436-7900. We're going to take a short break, and we'll see if we can get any conversations going right after this. More to come. Right, everybody. We are back. Plenty of topics, plenty of conversations to be had today. We've got plenty of time for everyone out there. 314-436-7900. Get you right to me. And speaking of that, we got Frank came right into us. So, hey, Frank, are you there? What's going on?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Thanks for calling, okay. Frank.
Oh, well, thanks for being there. Hey, I'll preface this by saying, when Scott was on a year or two ago, probably 2 years, I called about a pocket door that's between our kitchen and our washer and dryer. It's cattywampus. I bought all the tools trying to reach up there and adjust it. And I said, can you recommend anybody? And he didn't exactly, well, he didn't laugh. He just said, you know, Frank, when it comes to pocket doors, I don't know anybody that knows how to do that, you know? In a sense, that's what he said. I'm kind of paraphrasing what I got out of it. But so I played with it some more. I got it where it will close, but it's still cattywampus, and it rubs, and it's driving my wife crazy. And I said, well, unless I tear the whole frame off, and I don't know what to do. So I'll throw that one at you and see what you got for me.
Yeah. So it sounds like the door, like the actual door itself is warping. Is that what the case is?
No, I'm not sure it's the actual door. I think the track it runs on at some point going open and closed, the rollers up there, the little nuts you tighten, maybe they loosened or something, and I've made adjustments, but it's one of these things where if you haven't worked on it, you get up there with this little wrench you buy from the store, and you tighten this one, and it's one of these balancing acts. Like if you do this too much, then you got to run over and do this one, and if you do this one, then you messed up the other one. So the bottom line is my impression was basically, Frank, I feel for you, but good luck.
Yeah. Well, and so for me, the other portion of that is you either try and tinker with it and see if you can make a bad situation somewhat better, or you go to a whole new situation, which basically, because we install, we work on pocket doors, we build room additions and bathrooms, and I've taken bathrooms with swing doors and installed pocket doors, and it's really all about the door and the track that you install. Unfortunately, to get a new track in there, you're involving trim, taking off all the trim, taking off everything around part of the door, and cutting out drywall in order to get inside of there to be able to take the pocket door 100% off, change out the actual trim that makes that pocket door work and move. And they've got some really good pocket door tracks now that even have slow close on them where you can just kind of push them and they'll, like a cabinet door, they'll go as far, they'll catch, and then they'll slowly close the last inch or two. So they're a lot more quiet. They function really well. What you need is a new track, and to make sure that the door itself isn't twisted or warped or causing some of the problems itself, may entail a new door, depending on if the door is playing into any of the problem or not. You need a good straight door without being twisted or warped, and a really good new track, which includes drywall, trim, painting, patching, all kinds of work to get inside there to change it all.
No, I kind of actually came to that conclusion. You know, always looking for that one person out there that says, yeah, use a potato to take the light bulb off. And
yeah,
if you rub some potato on the track, you're going to be fine. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So sometimes there's ways you could play around and make these things work. And sometimes you just need to go to the all new thing and get that completely taken care of. So that is definitely something that, at our company, at Scott's company, Mosby Building Arts, we could let you, we could look at the door, see if it's twisted, see if it's warped, and then we could let you know what it would take if we need a new door or not, if it's just a new track, and what it would take to drywall patch, do all the work, and get the door back to 100% for you.
Right. Well, I appreciate your program, and I appreciate your knowledge, and I didn't come away with anything that I didn't actually realize
was going to be
the solution, you know?
Sometimes we just need to hear the truth from somebody else to make us realize, you're probably right. I just need to get it 100% and get it there. So awesome, Frank. I appreciate it. And for you and for everybody out there, if you need something like that, feel free to give Mosby a call.
I certainly will, and thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Let's jump to Diane real quick here and see what's going on. Diane, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, yes, and thanks for taking my call and question.
Sure.
I have an older Kenmore dishwasher, and it's functioned fairly well over the years, but now it turns on, and about 10 minutes after it turns on, then it shuts down. And before I consider a replacement, I was just wondering if there's anything you might advise that I try to see if I can rejuvenate this old dishwasher?
Well, I mean, the only thing I would really advise there is you can consider just trying to get with a appliance repair company. I mean, I'm sure there's something in there that is causing that and can be replaced and possibly fixed. And the hard part about that is I don't know what that is on an old Kenmore dishwasher, but I could tell you, you'll have I would speak to them about kind of the trip charge and the diagnosis charge of figuring that out so that then you can kind of maybe weigh that against the age of the dishwasher and think, all right, if it's going to cost me, let's just pretend it's $90 just to find out if it can even be repaired, how much is a new dishwasher, and start to weigh that. And go, what do I really think? Because I don't know any tips or tricks on why that dishwasher would be starting and running and then shutting off after a while. I would guess it's some kind of computer board type of thing that's, you know, making it kind of stop and not run through its whole cycle, which could also mean a more expensive replacement. And then you kind of go, well, how old is the dishwasher?
Well, I think it's about 25 years old. So maybe it's course.
Yep, and you might be to the point where it'd be even hard to get the parts and all of that, and you're basically going to pay a couple $100 or something, $250 to fix something that you could maybe buy and have a new one installed for $300, $400, or $500.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Okay, well, thank you so much.
All right, no problem. I appreciate the call. Hey, we're going to jump to a quick break here. Before we get into our last segment, David, if you could hold the line through a really fast break for you, I promise I'll get to you as soon as we return right after this. Oh, man, I'm in the mood for some peanuts and some popcorn now and a little baseball, guys. Hey, 314-436-7900 finds me right here today, Home Improvement Show. We've got Cardinals baseball coming up. We've got David on the line as promised. Let's get right to David and see what's going on. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Thanks for calling.
It is a beautiful day out there, isn't it?
It is.
Need to pick your brain on glass block windows. We've been in the house about 20 years, and they were in there before, but I would suspect they've been put in at different times before we bought the house, because each window is a little bit different in the blocks.
Okay.
But now they're starting to crack and pop, and I guess settlement issues. And what all does it take to get this repaired or replaced?
So is it the white mortar between the blocks that's kind of peeling out and coming out?
No. It's the block windows themselves. All of a sudden they're cracked and they're diagonally on them. So I assume the house is settling and just pressure on them over years has taken its toll.
Yeah, absolutely. That's 100% what's going on. Because those blocks, those glass blocks they're bricks basically. And so when the mortar kind of stair steps around them, when you get cracks right through them, then there's some sort of settling for the house. So you can just have those glass block windows taken out and replaced. And the cool thing is the way they do that now, most glass block manufacturer places are going to basically build the window at their warehouse, and then they bring it out, and then they mortar it into place. So you have the advantage to make that window just changing up the size of the blocks to maybe make it slightly smaller, so you got a little more room around it, but you're still mortaring that into place, so it's still kind of like a hard bricked thing. If your home continues to move, those new windows could eventually crack again, just like the original ones did. And so there's a inclement area there of do you have the house looked at and examined for the movement and for possible peering to help hold that movement so that maybe that doesn't happen again. I would definitely say it's worth the conversation.
We used to have water issues through cinder block walls for the basement, and that has all been taken care of.
Okay.
So maybe the settling has stopped now.
Oh, yes.
Who knows? It's already 100 years old, so.
Yep, and in 100 years, you'll get some of that. It's just going to happen. I mean, we get some of that in homes much, much newer than that, too, and it's just trying to figure out when is it bad enough to actually have to do something to keep the foundation from moving.
Right.
So I would say, I mean, you're definitely fine. And you can have those glass blocks replaced, have those windows replaced. We used glass blocks of St. Louis here at Mosby Building Arts to do all those windows. They do a great job. We've been working with them for years and years. And they could get those replaced. And then I would say either just keep your eye on the movement and the cracking around it and see if you ever think there's a time where maybe you should get the foundation looked at. And then I would recommend that on top of it.
Is there a better alternative to than the glass blocks?
Well, you can do any type of window. I mean, depending on, of course, architecturally, if making sure there isn't a historical factor.
No.
You're not in a historical area or anything like that, then you can, yeah, you can have an actual picture window installed. You can get windows that operate. You can do pretty much anything that you want. And, of course, depending on what's on the inside of it, is there anything in the inside? Is this
it is not finished on the
inside. Is it all basement?
Not finished currently. Yeah, all basement, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So there's vinyl basement windows that you could have installed in that in place of those glass blocks. But also in the glass blocks, you can get a little vinyl vented flip window it's about the size of two glass blocks if you wanted some ventilation, but like the security of the glass blocks, because the glass blocks are really secure. It's like going through brick. I mean, it would take a small sledgehammer and a lot of work to get someone inside of a glass block window. It would take a lot
of 180-pound Rottweiler also gives us a little security.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, that'll help too. So, but yeah, you can get...
What was the name of that place that you recommended?
St. Louis, Glass Blocks of St. Louis.
Glass Blocks, okay, I will definitely have to check them out.
All right, no problem.
Thank you a lot.
You are very welcome. Hey, let's jump to Peter real quick here. Peter, I got about 1 minute, and maybe we can continue with you in the next hour. What do you got going on?
So just on my house I purchased, the doorbell wires are still there, but the doorbell doesn't work anymore. I'm curious what might be going on there. And then on the patio in the back of the house, there's a place where clearly I have three nice lights hung on the brick, different places, but one, there's clearly where a third one was. It's just a metal plate covering the wires. Any idea why somebody would just cover that up and go that route and how I can make my doorbell work again?
Yeah, it sounds like it stopped working. They came about some issues they couldn't figure out how to fix, and so they just covered it up. But it could be the transformer. It could be just a loose wire somewhere in that doorbell system between the front door, the transformer, the actual bell, and the back door. So tracking that down is what you're going to want to try and do. Probably a licensed electrician will help you out. But, hey, Peter, thanks for the call. We've got Cardinal Baseball on deck for KMOX. And join me on 97.1 if you want to hear another hour of Home Improvement.